Hello and welcome to the 11th Hour, a podcast about Rancid. I am Brad Rose from Foxy Digitalis.
And I'm Sam Melancon from Debacle Records.
And each week, well, I'm not even going to do the each week we pick song, talk about our complicated feelings. For the last 2 years, every week, mostly-ish, we have talked about Rancid and all our complicated feelings that have to do with Rancid. And it's been fun. Until it wasn't. And so with that, we have come to the end of this journey for now. And the only place that you can end, I mean, the only place you can do it is with Journey to the End of the East Bay. Reconcile to the belief, consume that sacred ground for me. There wasn't always a place to go, but there was always an urgent need to belong, yeah. All these fans and all these people, all these friends, and we were equals, but what you gonna do when everybody goes on without you? To the end, to the end, I'll turn it to the end. All right, everybody knows this fucking song. I don't really gotta introduce it. I guess, yeah, it's written by Tim. Shocking. So, yeah, I mean, it's the Op Ivy song. It's, I'm guessing...
It's credited to Tim, but, like, it does seem like it has to be a Matt. Like, Matt has to have been pretty bought in, because Matt was the other Op Ivy member. And
the bass line.
Bass-heavy, like, the bass holds the melody so much.
Right.
And like the pre-chorus sort of element, or like the preamble to the song, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the most iconic Rancid bass line
that you can actually sing instead of like,
well, right.
Maxwell Murder is like iconic, but sure. I couldn't sing it.
Yeah. I mean, to the point of I've been working on this for years and I can't get it to where but I've been working on like an ambient version of this song. That's just the bass line, but with like synths and stuff. But anyway, yeah. So this is, it's credited to Tim, but Matt, it's like a big asterisk, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it must be on there. It's just they never... What's really funny is, I think if you look at the record and like the Wikipedia, they say all songs Armstrong, Frederson, or yeah, like it's basically all songs by all of them or the three of them, unless otherwise noted. And then every song is noted. So it's like, what do you mean? Like... every song has a songwriter, so I think that's for like songwriting, like BMI sort of ASCAP sort of things. But I also think their ASCAP was a collective,
yeah,
you know, thing that got paid out. So I, which is, you know, that's nice. So I don't really. It's one of the hardest things to unravel, and I think they're not the most open about what really where songwriting happens in this band. As we've talked about.
I have a theory why. I mean, I'm sure everybody has the theory why. It's because Tim actually mostly writes it all.
Sure, but I mean, I think, you know, like we've heard early on, and we saw with like Red Hot Moon, like Brett probably wrote a lot of the early riffs and things like that. You know what I mean? Like
that's true.
I think there's, but yes, I think it's probably Tim, and like he wants it to seem like Lars and Matt are doing more of the core writing, but I think mostly it's him. And I would agree with that, actually, even after kind of countering. But I'm sorry.
we've given Tim a lot of shit on this podcast, but if that is the case, and it's because he wants everybody to get some of the shine, basically, I think that is a positive thing. And I think that's a thing that, I think stuff like that helps bands stick around for 30 years.
Yeah. But I mean, anyway. I do think Lars wrote Roots, right? Like,
oh,
I do think
for there's like pretty obvious moments.
Ones, yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay. Anyways, I don't know where this meant, right. But yeah, like, I do also think the irony of picking Journey, we can get into it, but I think what's so interesting about Journey is it's an unsubtle song. It is a song that tells its story very plainly. Though I will admit, as a kid, it kind of was a confusing song to me because the narrative switch, the direction of the narrative kind of switches a couple times. Which I don't know why that was hard for me. I do remember that though, but it's, you know, it's, it tells a story. It's a pretty well-written story and it's a beautiful little baseline. It's a really kind of evocative song, but it's very straightforwardly good. It's just a straightforwardly good song. There's not a lot, you know, it's like, as they say, that's like making fun of a clown. We've talked about this before, that their best songs that are more straightforwardly good, they almost are the hardest ones to talk about, you know what I mean?
Right.
I think in a lot of ways this was for years and years your favorite song. We just talked last week about how it's not anymore your favorite, but we're splitting hairs about it's, you know, on any one day this might be one of your favorite songs. So like talk about like what it, you know, as
a big part of it was hearing it, it was just hearing the like Op Ivy. So because it always felt like there was like Tim was always trying to put this distance, and we've talked about this, between like Op Ivy and Rancid. They're two different things. They're not, and like this finally it felt like this sort of tacit acknowledgement of this other thing that was, I mean, the most important thing to a lot of people. And I, you know, I still, as much as this whole podcast has been about Rancid and I love a lot of Rancid stuff, like I love Op Ivy more. And so it just felt, and again, you got to keep in mind, I was like 16 when I heard this. And so a lot of it was like, you know, the 16-year-old kid who's like really into punk rock and stuff, hearing it was like, oh my God, it's the fucking Leonardo DiCaprio meme of like holding the beer can pointing at the TV. That's like, it was that, but you know, on this, it just felt like this moment of, yeah, it's, you know, this is the thing. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, and I just, I do think that there is this, especially like, I love in the first verse, this, I think the first verse is my favorite one. And that's because of it. Like, it's obviously specific about a specific thing, but it really speaks to this larger feeling and a thing that like, I feel like I've been chasing my whole life of.
Yes.
And especially the, what are you going to do when everybody goes on without you, which is a feeling that I feel like, you know, I mean, these are things we talk about, but I feel like we don't talk about this as much on the podcast. We do like before and after when we're like, oh my God, fucking life, like all these things,
this is my whole identity, but now like how many times have we had to reinvent and all these things. Yeah.
And so I think that verse really gets that because it's like, it's especially like when you have the thing and then the thing goes away. Like, I mean, that is, yeah, it's like all these bands and all these people, all these friends, we were equals. And it's like,
perfectly written. That first thing of like summing up the Gilman thing, the Op Ivy thing, like, and saying it was perfect. And like that feeling of being part of like especially an all ages scene, like being part of a scene is great, but I do think there's some magic of like being a young person part of an all ages scene. Yep. I think there's, and probably being part of an 80s, early 90s all ages scene is like, it probably will never be the same as that, you know?
And, right, for sure.
And so like, I think they do a better, like this is some of his most economical songwriting, you know what I mean? In terms of it's eight, you know, lines of a song, but it says a novel's worth of feelings. And it really does. Like, I'm not just blowing smoke. Like, this is one of the few times it's like, this fucker can write a hook and can write some pretty important lyrics that hint at stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What you gonna do when everybody goes on without you? A, the rhythm on that is so good, and B, it's just it's really strong, and it's such a good intro to. It starts with it's such a good, it's like flooding my brain with too many things because it's almost like it starts with nostalgia, like he's telling you, man, it was so good, but he's in present day telling you, right, and then we get the chorus to the end, which is just kind of like, it's almost like the dream sequence starts, you know what I mean? Like, again, he's such a like musical theater guy.
Well, and it's also, I mean, and something we talk about a lot is like, we're lifers. The chorus to me is like, what are you going to do? Like, I'm a fucking lifer. I'm going to keep going to the, you know, I mean, like, there's too. That again, I'm like, God, fuck, I feel.
And it is about like, yeah, this sort of like sadness of if you keep going, it kind of peters out sort of thing. Yeah. That, but at the beginning, it doesn't. It says to the end of the East Bay, you got to go to the end of the East Bay to find this like Mecca, right? Like, right. That becomes a joke by the end of the song. But at the beginning, it's selling it to you as a Mecca, right?
Right.
Like, this is pretty impressive. And then he starts telling the story.
Right.
And so then we get the second verse.
Very which is, specific Op Ivy story. Like,
yeah. And so he's saying, started at 87, ended in 89. Got a garage for an amp. We'll play anytime. Incredibly good lines. Like, these are, this has peaked him. Like, this is, you know, like, this we're up there with GGF. We're up there with Let Me Go. Like, the chorus of Ruby Soho. There's very few times where he's been this good. Like, It was just the force. Yeah, man, the core. I mean, that yeah, man is so good.
I know.
Like, yeah, man, the core of us, too much attention, unavoidably destroying us.
And
like,
that is so good. To get
almost nobody
unavoidably can do destroyed that. Like, oh my God. That's.
And he actually kind of says it destroying us.
Right.
When he sings it, it's really interesting that he does that.
Because you need that extra syllable to make the, I mean,
and it's very
which Tim. Is very smart.
And it's really cool because he pulls back. I want somebody who's better at poetry and like meter and everything to talk about this. But pulling back to Four Kids on Tour, and then you get a little gap. And then he got 3,000 miles, four car door, not knowing what was going on. Like he does good things with space and then cramming it full of stuff.
Yeah, well, yeah, and just like the way he switches his cadence and his
delivery. Yeah.
It's like really. It's one of those things that you don't even really notice it when you're just singing along because you're just kind of bopping along to it. But when you sit and break it down like this, it's like, oh shit,
this is really good.
This is like even better than I realized it was. I mean,
and it's such a performance, like where he's like, hell no, no. I mean, we're really at like the dawn of the musical theater, right? Like, you like almost feel like a guy's gonna do like I'm doing like hand motions into the video, right?
Here. Yeah, and then you get to the third verse, and speaking of musical theater, it's like. Here comes this new kid. Like, I mean, it is.
Yeah. Like, it's like you could like have a little side thing come in with a spotlight on just Matt. Yeah, like 100%.
I can the narrator. Right
now. Yeah.
And obviously, go ahead.
No.
Another one of my favorite lines. It's in like my fucking Twitter bio. I think it might be in my Instagram bio. Like, this ain't no Mecca, man. This place is fucked.
It's so the truth of getting into a music scene, right? It is both the best thing that's ever happened to you and so great, but it's one of the worst feelings of like, oh, this is just people. This is just toil. This is just shittiness. And usually people being really, really poor and stressed and somebody's left holding the bag. You know, somebody's taken a bath in terms of like, a lot of money is being lost and it's like, and there's usually a lot of shitty sniping because that's how humans work. Right. And like, whether or not it's this version of it, right. Of like after the fact, when something was good, you get sold this vision, which by the way, around this time I was like, everything I've ever liked from Joni Mitchell to DJ Shadow to Rancid was like in like the late mid 90s was like, ooh, North California, Northern California.
Yeah.
It's all like every era I've ever liked happened in Northern California, you know, like from punk to interesting West Coast hip hop to whatever. And I was like, I was so excited to go on a trip with my dad to and like see Gilman, even if there wasn't a show, but we were going to drive by Gilman, you know what I mean? And it really,
one of the most mind-blowing experiences I ever had was like getting to go to the Lookout offices when I was like 17 years old.
But like we were basically just being sold the story of this thing, you know what I mean? Like we were doing that, like we weren't committing as hard as Maddie. But I remember like when I was in college, like if you forgive me for having this little bit of it's related. I wish I remembered her name. But my girlfriend's college, like, dorm mate was a queer woman from the South, from Mobile, Alabama, who came out to Lewis and Clark College because she was like, I got to get out there. Mm-hmm. It's the Northwest. I got to get out of Mobile. And then she was like, you know, Carrie Brownstein and Corin Tucker were assholes to me. You know, like like they were like, you know, right. I don't really like,
sure.
Like, but they were probably just humans. You know what I mean? Like, right. They were like you, but in her head, she was like, I got to go live in Portland where fucking Carrie lives, you know?
Right.
And then they're like, you know, just kind of lifer music slobs. You know what I mean? Like they're right. Just, you know, like the scene is the scene. Like no matter where you are.
And it's never the thing you think it's going to be. Like it's
100%.
I mean, we talked about this last week, you know, like when the thing, trying to take it with you.
Yes. Like, 100%.
It's connected to that. And again, I will say that again, the one thing, the Mountain Goats, like I've met Jean Darnielle and he is wonderful. Like, it's all the yeah, it he's seem, like the one.
It must be so tiring to be Jean Darnielle because you have to be like, everybody's vision of him is so right. Perfect and kind. And he's such a goober. And like, you just want him to be this goober, kind human. It's like, you know, like yeah. We have these like kind of idealized people in our lives that are like, it's like Tom Hanks or something. Like if right. You ever see Tom Hanks be an asshole, you're like, well, fuck the world's, you know, like,
right, like God, we are doomed.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, everybody's allowed to be a person, you know, but yeah. Like, yeah. But yeah. Like I watched this like 2 years of this person falling apart and getting frustrated and very jaded. Right.
Yeah.
And probably being a perfectly fine person themselves. But there was this jaded, like becoming jaded process that happened by joining a real scene. Not just the like, and what's funny is probably the four person scene they had in Mobile, even though it was more dangerous for them to live there, was probably more vibrant and interesting because they had to fight for it versus Portland didn't value it, right? Like Portland owned it, you know, for years and years and years and years, and it just became the backbitey sort of normal rock star. Like you could be popular. You know, and I always found like small town scenes to be like, there's no skin in the game. So you actually have a true scene, you know, versus like you get somewhere where there's a little bit of like, oh, fame and money could come into play. Now you get all the classic trappings of problems, right? And that's kind of what happens here. But anyways, like I've seen literally the same sort of going to the Mecca after the fact. I mean, we were talking about 2001, 2002, kind of the same time I was talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's way after K and, K, you know, we're in 5RC land, you know, and if we're talking about interesting stuff happening, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so like, well, there still was tons of great stuff in Portland at that time. The stuff that lit this person's brain up was a lot more.
Well, it's like the stuff that was still around had reached a different level that it was like, yeah. It was removed from this.
Yes. But then you also still were interacting with it because it still had that indie right. Vibe and Portland's a small town and, you know, like, right. And so it was just, you know, you get to see the raw truth of those scenes and you're just kind of like, ugh, this is a little gross, you know? And same thing for, you know, what the third, so we get back to the third verse and it's about a kid coming out from New Orleans.
Right.
And do we have we ever heard is like this is just made up or a real thing?
I have no idea. About
the song a lot. They're very proud. The thing, as much as we're going to praise this, they're really proud of this structure and they talk through it with live. Have you ever seen this?
Oh yeah.
He like explains the song live.
I know it's hilarious.
And they like do like an extended like they like vamp between. Yes. Things and he like explains the first verse was this and then I like he's doing what we're doing here
right
for his own song. He's very proud of it, like
I mean he should be, you know,
but that's a very
yes
lucky thing to do, I would say. I mean whatever, maybe it should be proud of
he just
him.
Needs to add in there like, hey, don't forget to tip your waitress.
Yeah, I know. It has a little bit of that. And maybe he's like saying, hey, all you kids who got into me in the last 20 years, this is the song I'm actually proud of.
But, right. Yeah.
But then it has the whole, he said, this is a Mecca. I said, this ain't a Mecca, man. This place is fucked. And he's got no home. He has no food. He's all alone. And it's problematic. It must be somebody real because you wouldn't say Maddie, right? There's no way you would pick a person's name
who's in the band.
Both bands. Both yes. Bands.
Right. Too. Both. Best, yeah. Right.
That
yeah,
was
yeah,
always yeah. Confusing to me. Right?
I think that did, like when I first heard it in early on, that confused me in the same way. I was like, wait a minute, did Matt like move what
100%? Because it's like, it's a song about Operation Ivy. So you're like, is this about Matt?
And, like, you know, Matt kind of has a New Orleans vibe to him. I'm just going to say, like, you know, it's true. Plausible.
You feel like he has a skull ring in his pocket somewhere. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you mean.
But it's yeah. such a good story of high highs, low lows. And I think it's got such an interesting thing of the gentrification of Oakland, the shitification of San Francisco. Like, back in the day, if you asked me a city I'd happily live in, I was like, San Francisco's wonderful. Like
right.
pre 94, 96, San Francisco is a crazy great place. It's just libertarian NIMBY hellscape now. And
apologies to any of our listeners in San Francisco.
Well, it is. I mean, I know, it's all creeped out to Oakland and nobody can afford to live there. And it's just, it's like the epitome of.
Isn't that happening to large parts of Seattle too?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's way less landlocked and it's way less. There was an interesting, there's a lot less, the dichotomy of the two sides of the bays wasn't as extreme as like the parts around Seattle versus. So like some of that history isn't the same, but yeah, Seattle is kind of a more spread out version of the same idea. Same. I mean, that's the problem with Seattle is that it's becoming San Francisco too, you know, is the biggest problem. So the West Coast in general has these problems, but the biggest problem is we are liberal in name and really it's rich NIMBY liberals that need to decry certain things, but never solve a problem, you know, because it makes their life slightly harder. Right.
Right.
And so that, you know, it's as insidious, if not more insidious than just crappy authoritarians, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, it feels like we're doing the right thing, but nothing's changing, you know? And so, yeah, like even I feel like I have an even extra layer listening to this song of like the decay of the East Bay scene, you know? I don't know, but that's not like inherent to the song, but it's an interesting layer that has happened. Like somebody listening to, you know, you tell people about the East Bay scene and Oakland, I think they have a very different view of what this was, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I wonder, you know, like on the mailbag last week, I can't remember his name, but the kid who's like 17 who wrote in. It's like, I mean, they weren't even a lot for any of that.
No.
So it's like someone like that, that's just really, it's a really, is there really
good, there's a lot of preserved stuff of inside of Gilman. I wonder if there's good stuff to like show around Gilman at the time and like what San Francisco and then Oakland and like the BART trip between the two felt like I would watch that just for like a sort of reminder to myself what like pre-internet San Francisco West Coast felt like, you know, in music scene. It's the same fun of like one of the best things the Fugazi documentary does is like 70% of it is they filmed the line outside. And it's such a good preservation of the moments. Cause you know, like people think that the fashion at any one time was the extreme end of the fashion, but most people going to most shows were the normies. You know what I mean? And they felt like, I think internally they were extreme fashion, but they're not that extreme. They're mostly people in like a jean jacket and a little bit of fingernail polish, you know what I mean? And it's so interesting to watch that throughout the years, you know, and they cut that together in such a cool way. There's a lot of these line, and I'd almost want the same thing, but for like
for the East Bay for scene. Gilman. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That would be, you know, and you want, I wonder what kind of footage exists. I'm sure there are people who have
a lot. Footage.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I would guess
never been, at least to my knowledge, I've never seen any. That would be
watched a documentary that was kind of about like San Francisco punk, and it kind of does the whole history of like Maximum Rock and Roll and Alternative Tentacles. And it kind of got to, I think I was done by the time I had to go do something by the time it was getting deep into Gilman, but I should go see what's around. But anyways, I mean, it is really funny though how much on stage, I did want to bring this up. How much I would say is they do talk it out. Like they're like, it's like wild. Part of the ritual of it I really encourage people to go see a recent, I think it's a recent thing. maybe because they feel like their fan base is getting younger and yeah. don't understand the context of it.
Right.
Which is maybe that's smart. And maybe they just were realizing people, it's an important song to them and it, people don't get it.
They want people to understand, yeah, the importance of it, not just, it's, you know. I mean, because it's just a good song, but yeah. Obviously the reason that it stands out for them is because of what it's about and what it says. So I feel like there's got to be a better way to go about doing it, but
yeah, I feel like you could like have a what? If you have projectors behind you, you could just do it with like photos and stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could do some really cool like video.
Give a short like preamble of like, hey, this is a song about da da da.
We were in a band and that band was chaotic and it ended too early. And you just do like two sentences and then on each thing you kind of show hey, you could do a pretty artsy, not artsy, artful.
Again, this is where Tim lean into that theater back that musical yeah, theater really. Background. You could like the montage
and
the
cut that through. Don't do it in Timavision so people could actually like tell what's happening.
Yeah.
Put more than 4 pixels on it. And
If you guys, if they decide to do this, you can send us.
Yeah, exactly. We have a.
Can we get some kind of. Yeah,
exactly.
But yeah.
I don't know. Do you have anything else? The only other thing topic wise that I was thinking about was like, was there ever any pushback or like did anything ever go through Lars and Brett's and now Brandon's head of like having to sing a song constantly about this love song to the previous band constantly?
I've always wondered that. Especially Lars. I don't know. Lars just seems like he's having fun along the road for the ride, but it's got to be weird.
Yeah, it kind of has like that almost classic rock bands. Like you're more of a
hired gun.
Well, like no. Yes, that's true too. But I was thinking about you're more of a scholar than I am. But like of like a why can't I think of the I'm mixing basic bands. I keep almost saying Steely Dan, and I mean Fleetwood Mac. It escaped me for a second. Like the drama inherent. Like they would just right. like kind of, they were the kings of kings and queens of just like doing the drama out in front of everybody. You know what I mean? Right. And I feel like a lot of classic bands were like completely fine with that. And it kind of has that vibe of like, no, you just do it in front of everybody. Like it's almost like that where it's like,
yeah,
even if somebody did have a hard time with it, who cares? We're just going to
right, we're gonna
it in front of everybody.
I would be most curious about Lars. Like Brandon. Like yeah, Brandon, I mean, he's like a hired gun to me more than like Brett wasn't. Brett was one of the founding members and all that.
Yeah.
But Lars has to actually sing it, you know, like I don't know. I think it's got to be kind of weird, especially if, you know, yeah, I mean, cause they weren't really part of that scene. Lars wasn't.
I don't think Brett really was either.
Yeah, I mean, because he was younger than all of them too, I think.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting. I would wonder that too. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like how I would feel if I was ever in a situation like this. And it would probably annoy the shit out of me if I was. But I would never be like, I'm not stuck in anything that I have to ever worry about. I'm not joining any pre-established bands to.
Huge bands, yeah.
Yeah. No one's knocking down my door.
Oh, I mean, shit. It is on your record that it's breaking, ends up breaking, you know, any record that Off Ivy ever sold. So, like, you kind of have that in your pocket, you know.
Sure, what I mean? It's like, yeah, well, fucking.
This is the record that people are knocking down our doors to get at. So, like, maybe it doesn't matter.
And if you told me that, you know, like, if you asked, if there was an interviewer asked Lars that and Lars was like, oh, I never even thought about that. That wouldn't surprise me. Like, that's not even I think Lars seems very much just.
He just feels very loyal to Tim.
Yeah. And is like along for the ride and is there for his guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that.
So, I don't know. I think that's about, I mean, it's a great song. Still a great. It's a great song.
So. Yeah, it's true. It's a great song. And I think the one thing that we kind of said that I think is hard to say is we don't have the same thing as this song, but that feeling of a scene being over. I've moved through a bunch of different scenes in my life and sort of feeling that nostalgia for like, oh, I'll never have that scene again or that moment again. Dude,
I was thinking about this just even with Foxy Digitalis and like,
this is what I'm saying. Like you,
yeah, you, 2009, 2010. Yes. I mean, even up to the end of it in 2013, like there was like 40, 50 people writing for the site. And
exactly. This is what I'm thinking.
I think about it now too. I'm like, God, if that crew existed now, cause I don't know, like now it's like there'd be like a Foxy D Discord and there'd be like writers Discord. Yeah. Like there would be, I think, more and better tools for more connection with each other. And I get sad thinking, geez, it's never going to come back. And that's like a thing. I feel like I've even really in the last few months, like for a while I was trying to keep up this appearance of, you know, I was publishing a ton of shit and it was good stuff. I felt it 6 months ago. I don't know, maybe more. That's like, ooh, burnout. That feels a little like burnout. It's not good. And then like really intensely this year, and you and I have talked about this, and then this actually came up yesterday on Twitter with another couple writers, and I said I really felt the burnout coming on, and I knew that I just had to let go of these sort of ideas and obligations that I had in my own head that nobody was putting on me, or these expectations, maybe is a better word. And even this week, I have felt like I was saying to you, like I let go of this idea of I've got to do this weekly column. It's like, yep, it can be every other week. No, and then the Foxy D podcast, I was like, I don't like where it's at. It feels like a chore. I don't think it's just not what I want it to be. I've got this other thing in Songs of Our Lives that is exactly what I want it to be and getting better. Let go of the thing. And it's okay. Like, and nobody, and if anybody gets mad about it, and this is something I talk about to, you know, in therapy, and I tell my friends that, like, if anybody has a problem with it, that's their problem. That's not my problem.
Also, like, the likelihood of that anybody has a problem with it is would be shockingly small, and also a good sign. Mostly that means they're bought into you, and what you're doing, you know what I mean?
Exactly. But all of that, I think a lot of those feelings and keeping those things going and doing how I was doing really was tied back to that feeling of like 2010 Foxy Digitalis and this huge group of, and it was, it was a thing. And, but it's that world doesn't exist anymore.
Trying to hold on to that thing, right? Like,
right. Yeah. And it's like, no, it's not going to be that thing. So figure out what you want. Like you can, which is freeing because it's like the thing now can be anything. You can make it anything. You can do it how you want to do it, what you want to do. You know, I mean, it was always that way, but now it's like really clicked. So.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. That's a good thing. That's a good point. And I think that this song does that.
Yeah.
Explains that feeling of like, oh, that's gone. The 2008, 2009 noise scene in Ballard, you know, that we had around the SSMA, like I'm never getting that back. I'm like, okay, but that's okay. But like, I'm also never getting that back. You know, like it's not coming back, you know, it's like, it's okay, but it's not coming back. Motor, it's not coming back. It's like,
yeah,
there's a lot of things that were good and bad about all those things, but they're not coming back. And that's like sort of the like weird thing about having an okay, you know, moments in the music scenes is that they disappear. You know, they rarely stick around, you know, so you got to value them when they happen. So,
yeah.
And this says,
and learn to let go of them when you need to.
Yes. Like, which I don't think I've ever been good at and hold on for way too long. And yeah, exactly.
So. Which is frankly, I would say in some ways with this podcast is a positive step for both of us.
It's true. Like, the fact that we said, let's not, A, let's not run away instantaneously when we thought it needed to end. We were ending it smartly, mm-hmm. I think. We did a good job. And B, we didn't just say, well, let's log it out. let's make sure.
Like, let's just keep smashing our heads against the... Yeah.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And dread it more every week. And each episode just becomes like, ah, fuck it.
And then get mad at each other.
Fucking dominoes.
Exactly. Anyway. So that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well said. All right. We did get one voicemail, and I've actually been sitting on this voicemail for a couple of weeks, and Glenn sent us a present.
Hey guys, this is Glenn. I don't know that I have any particular insights into Journey to the End of the East Bay other than it rules. So I thought I might try my hand at playing the bass line for you guys on an upright bass. Hope you enjoy. Here goes nothing. In the pit.
Holy shit, that's awesome. I had no idea. I had no idea Glenn even played bass upright. Like, maybe he'd mentioned it before, but I don't remember. That was great, man.
I was so moving when I got that. Yeah. I was just like not ready for it, and
wow.
Yeah, I that's like
Glenn, you're nicest, a real one, man.
Yeah, that was like the nicest thing somebody's, I don't know. That's nobody's incredible. Just like, but like, I'm just going to play this little song. Yeah, I don't know. It's so sweet.
Seriously, next time I'm in Kansas City, like,
yeah,
I'm going to buy you a drink or a coffee
or whatever you need.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Also, there's some good sound sources for your.
I know. I know. I'm like, geez, I could stretch that out. By
sending it to us, Glenn has, forgone all. I don't know if he's read
the small print where it's like you have given us.
Given us
rights to this.
No, seriously, that was like the most kind gesture.
Incredible.
Very, 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 very sweet. And
thank you, Glenn.
Very moved when I got it. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, that was not what I expected at all.
Yeah, so I've been sitting on that for a couple of weeks. Yeah.
All right, so now we're gonna do the thing.
Okay, so
time for to hash out. We're gonna do the album ranking because we got to, I feel like. So when did we first talk about this? I don't know which episode it was. I think it was not the mailbag. I think it was earlier. Maybe it's the mailbag.
I mean, we've been talking about doing this since the beginning of time.
Well, that's fucking true. But but we had a discussion on whether we were going to do tiers or just straight ranking it, and Sam won. So we're doing a tier list.
We're doing the definitive for each of us tier list. We'll put these up online probably too.
Okay. I'll send you mine after this.
Well, you can just add it as a comment in our little thing. If you copy paste, like Control C, Control whatever, Control C, Control Z, you can add it to a comment. And then when we're ready, you can press enter and we'll both see ours. But do we want to just reveal it to each other? What do you want to do?
Well, I closed the fucking window.
You can download it.
Well, I know. I did download it. I'm just trying to figure out how to copy paste.
Okay. So, no. So, you can actually just do it in the comments. Sorry, instead of the notes. You can cut all this.
In the comments?
Sorry, there's a difference between a comment to the big button that says add comment. Comments are like from one person versus so that little comment window that comes up. That accepts images.
Right, but you're saying I have to copy and paste the image.
Yes, the actual image, which you can download from the site.
Right, which I have downloaded. I'm trying to figure out how to copy the fucking image to get... I know what I'm trying... It's all good. It's a thing.
Sure, it seems good.
Not, but... Okay, I think I got it. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Not gonna hit it yet.
So, what do you want to do? How do we want to do this?
Do we want to? I think we can. Let's just talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about it first.
I think that's like. Let's. Do we want to start at the bottom or do we want to start at the top? I feel like the top is more obvious. Maybe we should start at the top.
I mean, so we're doing an S through D, S A B C D ranking.
Or do we want to just go in chronological order?
I will completely.
Fuck, dude! I don't know. Don't make me make a decision.
Oh, sorry. What was I thinking? No, I want to go. I want to go bottom up. Let's go bottom up.
Okay. All right. So start with D.
And let's just go. Like, what is your like in D? What's your furthest to the right? And 3, 2, 1.
Oh, sorry.
So you really are a Punisher on the indestructible.
Yep.
Okay. I am fully on the, like, I think I can honestly take in the fact that, like, indestructible has better music than the worst albums. But I personally hate it for a lot of reasons. But, like, I have Honor as the bottom one because it is both lyrically and musically and recording-wise just a piece of shit.
Right. No, I agree with all that. I ranked these not in a, well, it's just how I
feel. Well, the objective subjective story will go back and forth, I think, too.
Yeah. I agree with what you said that like musically it's more listenable, but I can't get past it. It just, every time I put it on, it pisses me off.
Yeah, that's valid. So. I don't think I found myself for the first time in a little while, and I think you know why.
Yeah.
Having to, you know, somebody said something to me and I was like, oh, well, we did do that. I have had that sort of thing of like, yes, musically, this is kind of better than I expected to be. But yes, I hate it. I think we're going to say there's basically four albums I hate or I
don't
dislike.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't want to put on. There's basically four albums I don't want to put on, unfortunately. Yeah. And then there's five albums. Six albums. Sorry, my brain shorted out. Six albums I'd be happy to put on.
Yeah. Okay. So what is your next?
Also in D for me.
Also in D for me.
One to the left of that is Let the Mahjong Flip. You know.
That's where, okay, my next one's where I have Honor.
Honor. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have another thing in D for Domino's?
No.
So you're giving Domino's enough credit for its creativity to put it up a level.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I still have it in D because I cannot listen to it.
I can't. So I'm going to be on. Yeah, that's fair. I don't know that I can listen to anything in C or D. So. Yeah,
well, see, I'm a little different than that. And I don't know if it's for good reasons. Like, I could easily, like, shift some stuff.
Yeah. But,
like, I think you're probably doing this a little bit more correctly in certain ways. But
who knows? I mean, yeah, like, I don't like Domino's, but what's the song we talked about that was it L.A. River? Did we do L.A. River?
Well, L.A. River
is that the Boom Shakalaka song? Yeah. No. Okay.
Which, even that, we've kind of said there's a merit inside of it.
Right, well, that's the one that put it up a notch over the other two for me. Was, like, this kind of realization of there's a little more there.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I think there's a little more there on every song in that album. That's the one that hurts me the most, where it's like, there's enough technical, interesting stuff happening on that album. It's just, they're so bored.
Yeah,
the lyrics are so bad, and almost every single song has something I cannot listen to, except for Up to No Good.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, I really like this. It sounds like a Bad Religion song. Like, there's so much bread on that album. It's like a Bad Religion song meets a Transplant song, blah, blah, and then, holy shit, what the fuck did Lars just say? You know, like...
Yeah, no, it's bad album, full stop. Like,
but it's almost because it's so frustrating to me, like... like it, like they can't even execute one. Like I think there's two songs I can just listen to on that album. Like yeah. it's so infuriating that even though I will give it point, it's almost like it's like you know, it's like it's scooped, like it's polar, right? Like there's so much good stuff about it, there's so much bad stuff about it versus a thing we're about to talk about is like, yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah.
It's bad still, I think, but it's bad in a different way, right? And I would say Honor is kind of the opposite, where it's just like, bleh. It's just,
yeah. I mean, yeah. Like Honor could be, it's, I mean, we're splitting hairs here if it's yeah, D of course. Or in C. Yeah.
This is but, the, yeah. I mean, almost nobody should listen to the sequence of this podcast because this is like anti art.
Right. This is awful.
This is awful. This is fandom at its worst.
Yes.
Like, but it's fun to do.
Right.
And at least these are some big artists. I would never think or do things like this in somebody who's a smaller or more artful band.
Yeah.
This is fun though. So shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So is anything else in D for you?
No, I just have two in D. So.
Okay. So now we're up to C.
We're up to C. I have four things in C.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I'm pretty like
okay.
I decided two. My fandom has split.
Okay, like,
there's a lot of things I love, and then there's just a lot of things I'm kind of okay with.
Okay, interesting. All right,
today.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. What? Okay, so what's your first one in C? My first one in C is Dominoes.
Okay, yeah, we knew that. Okay,
yeah.
My first one in C is Tomorrow Never Comes.
Okay, that's my other one in C.
Yeah, I think Tomorrow Never Comes. The fact. I might put it on today and listen to it and be happy, but the fact that I have not listened to it for basically the year it's been out,
yeah,
is just a strike against it. Like it's a new Rancid album. I think the fact that we've identified how much I can tell they just had to wrench these guys into the studio to get it done, of how much it seems like Tim had one idea, wussed out of that idea, or whatever better term than that, but you know what I mean. Freaked out, couldn't finish that idea. Sequenced it really weird. You know, a poorly sequenced Rancid record is like such a crime. And then, you know, there's two or three songs I actually really like. I like the title track quite a bit. But the fact that I just don't put it on, I don't want to put it on, it's just,
okay. Yeah,
it's yeah okay. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's a bad, bad sign, you know? And so, maybe I'll change my mind. Maybe I'll like rediscover it later in but
yeah,
I think that was the most pulling teeth they've ever had to do to get a record out. And it wasn't supposed to be a Rancid record.
Yeah. I really wonder if there'll ever be another one.
Yeah. It really feels like this is it.
Yeah. Okay. So how do we want to do this? Cause you still have stuff in C. I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I can guess what's next. It's probably Indestructible.
It is Indestructible. Good job. And then this is where you're going to start being like, maybe this should be up in B. And I mean,
it also depends on how you define these categories. So it's like, I mean, yeah.
C is kind of like, I could, but to be honest, if you put on Tomorrow Never Comes, I wouldn't turn it off. Does that make sense? Right. Like, and I do think at the core of me, this one's maybe me being like a little bit too objective. And not subjective enough with the Indestructible thing of like, I have certainly enjoyed listening without thinking too hard to Indestructible, you know what I mean? Like, and want to remember that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I think that part of my brain has gone. So I can't,
I think that's very valid. Yeah. And I think there's, you catch me on a different day and I might be being a lot less nice. Yeah. To it. And it easily could slide right between Honor and Dominoes. It probably is oscillating at any one time between those. I still think Honor is like the so bad it doesn't deserve to be on this list.
That's fair.
It's just so gross. It's like when the passion
it's
is
gross that, in a different way.
Yeah,
Indestructible is so pretty fucking
useless.
Gross.
It has it's like it's just nothing. You know what I mean? Like it's like there's no passion. So, anyways, my next two in C, which I would guess are in B for you. I have Troublemaker. I assume that's yours.
Yeah, that's my next one.
And then this is one of the takeaways from the podcast is I have Let's Go.
Oh, see, I have 93.
Yeah. I have really come to be bored by Let's Go, which I never thought would be true. I can listen to it. I'm happy to listen to it, but I've listened to it so many times in my life.
Right.
And the thought that people put it with the three big ones is like insane. Yeah. It is not anywhere near. It is delightful. It is the best of those like meh albums, but it is, it's pretty flat. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think it gets by on nostalgia more than anything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and it does for me too. Like, full stop. Like, I don't really put any of these other than the big three.
Yep.
If I want to listen to Rancid, I'm going to listen to one of those three. I'm not going to put any of these other ones on. Like, I may want to listen to a song here or there, you know, like, I don't know, on some of them, but even then.
So is that in B for you?
What?
Let's Go.
Oh, I put it in A. Whoa. Just because I wanted to differentiate it from Troublemaker and 93, because I do think
Troublemaker and 93 are in B for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I could certainly see that split that I made in C going up to B, but you actually have it different. Let's Go differentiate. I think this podcast has really shown me I have the opposite opinion when I listen to 93, where I'm always like, why don't I listen to this more?
Yeah. I think the hard thing with 93, I mean, I like 93. I think the thing for me is like, it doesn't feel like a Rancid record.
Yeah. As we kind of talked about, I think we ended on that new idea of like, I wish it wasn't called Rancid.
Yeah. I think I would just, yeah, that's, it's, so I don't know. I'm just realizing it's pretty funny that my B, they have the same logo. Sorry. I never really looked at them. It is.
Yeah. Back, I was looking at that too. Yeah. So I can see that. But I've actually come to really enjoy it. I like that it's a little bit of hardcore band in there. There's a little bit of, all the uptone stuff, influence and stuff. Like I find myself enjoying that record more and more. And you know how we said, like, if I'm going to put on a Rancid record, I'm going to put on the big three. Uh-huh. Kind of amending that with more and more when I put on Rancid 93, I'm really happy, kind of in the same way I am when I put on the big three. You know what I mean? Like, I'm almost as happy. You know what I mean? And I kind of got to respect that on some level.
Yeah, really, absolutely.
It has forced me to. And on the flips, it's the flip side of the Let's Go thing. The more I listen to Let's Go, the less I'm interested in Let's Go because it's so samey. And it does really feel like a bridge record. It feels like we got to get this record out. Like, it has all the vitality of a band at their peak, but not like the permanence or like, wow, amazing of the band at their peak. It just has like, wow, we're really operating well, but man, we had 3 weeks to write this record. You know, like, it doesn't have the depth. It has the power, but not the depth. You know what I mean? Versus the first record kind of was like, ooh, there's a lot of cool ideas here, you know? Which are, I don't know, splitting hairs for no reason, but kind of a fun fun thing. So we both have the three in S. This is the nice thing that tiering does, right? Like, we're kind of admitting that those three just live on the same plane.
Right.
Right?
Which I think we came to that conclusion a while ago. But yeah, yes. It's like, these are the three records that are the entire reason this podcast exists.
Yes. If they didn't have these three records, this band, and you know, it's not the majority of their catalog, but it is the core of their catalog in a lot of ways. And I would also like, I gapped at A, like, I made the point that like, there's a real difference between their best records and their other records.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Like, I thought about that and
it's more like one of these would fall to A maybe, but not that any of those other ones are an A level. You know what I mean? Like, I think that there's...
You think one of these three could fall? Oh, I don't think any of these would fall to A.
Nah, I mean, I played with it, but I...
Oh, okay.
I couldn't do it.
Okay, well, what's your, like, number, like, furthest to the right on the
S? This is the hardest fucking thing. I don't like this.
And do you know why I don't like it? I didn't find it that hard, but... It was pretty.
You're not easy gonna for like me. It. I think we're different. I think we're gonna sure be different. We are.
I'm because, sure we are.
And I think we're okay. So here's my prediction. Can I do like my level? Like I'm going to write down our prediction and like this is
go for it.
Or do you want to do like? Can I predict you and you predict me? Do you want to do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So my prediction for you.
What do you think is number? So basically, this is like our top three records, and this is in
top order three records with the same three records.
Yeah. Okay. So what's your? What do you think is my furthest to the right?
I think it's Life on Wait.
Okay. I think yours is Wolves.
Okay. All right, let's just do it and then let's reveal it.
Okay.
I think yours is Life on Wait. I think you have you're really frustrated, but it's 2000 in the middle and then Wolves at the leftmost. Like you intellectually want to put 2000 the most far over, but you can't.
Okay.
So you're Wolves, 2000, Life Won't Wait.
Yeah, I think you're
1, 2, 3.
I think you're Wolves 2000. I think you're
Sorry. Okay, now,
I think
1, 2, 3.
I think that, okay, go 1, 2, 3. I think
just
it's
go Life 1, 2, 3.
I think yours is 2000, Life Won't Wait, Wolves.
Okay. So what mine actually is, because of this podcast, is Out Come the Wolves, number one.
Okay.
Because I just think you can't deny it.
Yeah, same. That's my number. Okay.
That's your number one for sure.
And
then I think we have flipped. I think I go Life Won't Wait, 2000, and it hurts. It pains us. I think those are basically the same.
I think so too. Mine's 2000.
I think if
I moved like kind of the way approaching it more the way you did, because I think we approached it a little bit different.
Yeah.
And I think you can make a case to have Wolves is the only one at S.
This is my other thing. Two are AA. I had a half of a thought about moving them both down to A, right? Like, because Wolves is so. I've come around. I did not start this podcast at Wolves, but I think there's just a basic truth that you cannot say that Wolves is not the most important. I was listening to Wolves a little bit in the last couple of days because of Journey, and it's just shockingly good. It's just painfully good.
It's the only record I don't skip a song.
Oh, interesting.
Because I skip the Matt songs on 2000.
Okay, there we go. I was like, what are you skipping?
I've come around a little bit on Black Derby Jacket.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And I don't know if I skip anything on Life Won't. I don't go to Life Won't Wait the same as I go to Wolves.
And we know why this makes sense.
Right.
Because like Life Won't Wait was like the one that came out right when I was super diving into Rancid.
Right. Right.
And it was like my album, and it was like very important to me. But we're talking about
absolutely. Tiny differences. I mean, yeah, the reason that I put them all at S is because I think they're all 10 out of 10.
Yeah, exactly.
Wolves just is maybe 10.5.
It shows why this is a very stupid exercise. Like, right. We're well aware that this is stupid exercise.
Again, but like if I'm, and the other thing is if I want to listen to Rancid, I'm going to go to one of those three. It's because you get all the sides of Rancid in those three.
That's absolutely true. Like one of the truth is, and why I started this podcast, I wouldn't listen to Wolves very much, or I didn't want Wolves to be my favorite. So it's kind of burnt out on, like, it's so easy to burn it. It's the most candy one, right? And so when you're not being thoughtful about it, it's easy to go, Wolves, whatever. But it's so like defining, you know? And also there's not a lot of stuff that sounds like Wolves on any of the rest of their stuff.
Right.
But like, it's also a false dichotomy. I'm trying to paste mine in. It's such a false dichotomy to be like Life Won't Wait or 2000 because they're completely opposite records on purpose. It seems like they made them to be completely opposite records.
Right.
And like, I don't know, like it doesn't completely jive for me that like I need to make that choice. Like, what I love about 2000 is the contrast to Life Won't Wait. Like these are purposely built to give me a toolbox that is complete. I put them all together and I have good Rancid. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Exactly.
Like like I have Rancid at their peak, 94 to 2000, right? Like 94 to 2000 was the best period of Rancid. It was Brett killing it. It was, they had Lars, you know, it's all this stuff. It was them unafraid to be a rock steady band. It was Vic being very involved in the band. It was like, you know, like this is, you know, this is the whole complete story of Rancid. And it's very little of the, well, we're just going to be a rockabilly band, you know? And even when they were doing on like 2000, the rockabilly stuff, they were doing the most interesting version of the rockabilly stuff. Right. You know what I mean? They were doing it like as if it was Discharge being a rockabilly band, you know, it was really fucking interesting. So like,
it's a
silly comparison, you know, in the end, but it is also delightful to do it. I think the one that is the most Sunday morning though, it's almost like they all have different uses. Here's the thing I was thinking about. Sunday morning album, Life Won't Wait. Easy, right? Like it's the most like I want to put 100%. It on in the background.
Yep. Headphones. Like I want it in the background. Sun is bright coming in the windows. Like
100%, right?
Yep.
Headphones album, Out Come the Wolves.
Yep.
It's an album for me.
Yeah, well, because it's for me too. It's like we've talked about how emo it is and how it's like it's this so kind insular. Of hug. Yeah. Yes. And you want it to be in your head and like just you want it to be small. There's
something about that drone at the beginning of it too. Like it's really good on headphones. And then the one when I'm driving is 2000. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's like, and really I could listen to any of those in any of those situations, but if you really want to describe those, that's like they all have their different uses, you know, like summer. Well, am I hanging out in summer? Life Won't Wait. Am I driving in summer? Fucking 2000. You know,
like, windows fucking down. If I'm driving down.
With friends, then it's Out Come the Wolf. You know, like it's a fucking weird thing. Like, you know, like
yeah. But any of these situations, I can cover with these three records.
Exactly, 100%.
I don't need the other seven.
No, Life Won't Wait. Think about Let's Go paling so much in comparison to what we just talked about, like the depth of choice that you have in sound, like. I guess I'm like drinking a beer at a skate park. Maybe Let's Go is going to sound better, but 2000 does that so much fucking better anyways.
Right. Know? Yep.
Like,
that's like the tier most, nothing below S matters. Truthfully. Like, it's just like, I mean,
exercise. I love it.
I know, but like, that's like the big, and it's been the takeaway the whole time is it's there's the three and there's some other shit.
Yeah.
And yes, there's like varying quality in the other shit, but like it ultimately, I don't care that, like, I really don't care that much. So anyway, well, speaking of takeaways, as you blast on your keyboard for everyone to hear.
Sorry. I realized there was one more takeaway.
So
what was, you know, to do a proper postmortem on this podcast.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got, the one you just added, I think I'm going to do that one first, actually.
Okay. That's a good one. Yeah.
I think one of our things that we sort of almost made it a mission to rehabilitate Troublemaker, because I think we realized pretty early on, it was that first summer, because it was when I was in Seattle when I really listened to it. And it was like, shit, this is actually pretty, there's some pretty good stuff. And it seems like they're trying on different, band shirts.
It's almost, now we're gonna be a 70s rock band, or we're gonna
a lightness to it in a way, and not in a, I mean, it is, you know, like lyrically and stuff, it's pretty fucking light, whatever, but it felt like they weren't so concerned with being the, you know, we're fucking tough and we're honor still here.
No, So what's the we're still here on Roll the Dice that makes me want to die? It's literally called We're Still Alive or something.
Yeah, like it's the, and it was the big single too.
Yeah, like,
oh, it's that, the fucking worst goddamn shit, man. I can't remember. I'm like looking at it. Why do I care?
But I don't fucking care. It's the first time they didn't sound definitively like that.
Last one to die.
Like the most fucking aging hardcore band thing. Gross.
So, like Troublemaker was, you know, the funny thing is like, I think we tried so hard with, because we were like, well, Tomorrow Never Comes is really going to tell us if And I think, it, at least for me, I tried really hard to be like, yeah, I think it keeps the momentum. It really doesn't. It re- like, I think Troublemaker is much better.
It's much more muddied with the sort of topical thing, and the like half of the songs have the topic and half of them don't.
Yeah.
But Troublemaker is a diamond in the rough in the back half of the of the of the catalog. And if you are somebody who are like, oh, I love the S tier albums, I love I like Rancid enough that I want to keep going, is there anything for me? It's like, no, there's not really other than Troublemaker. You know, like, but if you want to try on something that won't make you crazy pissed, Troublemaker is remarkably, it's like they've set the bar so low with things like Honor that Troublemaker is I think Troublemaker gets all the dirt from Honor on it, and it's really unfair to a band who seemed to be trying to not do Honor again. Maybe they were, but it didn't feel like
it.
It didn't feel like it, and I think people maybe rightly, because I mean they dug their own grave here, you know what I mean? like they went from Indestructible to Roll to blah blah blah, blah whatever. But like, yeah, I think Troublemaker, it's definitely one of the missions, and one of the sort of key takeaways is that Troublemaker is a diamond in the rough. It's not, maybe not.
Was it the Pitchfork review that was like, this is the best you can hope for from post Pete Rancid?
And I think that's exactly right. This is the best you can hope for.
Yeah. And if they make an 11th record, I don't care.
I'm so I'll
be shocked if they do.
I really will be shocked. I think we're reaching the end here.
Yeah. So yeah, that I think that was a big takeaway. Vic Ruggiero.
I mean, Vic's the fucking man. Like,
Vic is the fucking man.
How did he stay so clean in all this? It's kind of crazy.
I mean, I think it's, you know, and when you listen to like songs he writes, like his own stuff and stuff he's done with,
Slackers.
I was like, what the hell? Well, I'm sitting here staring. It says the Uptones, and I'm just like, Uptones. I'm like, no, that's not his. Anyway, but like, and again, you know, who knows with any of this stuff? But he seems like a genuinely good dude. Yeah. Like, and listen to that podcast interview that he did, you know, last year. I think that's how he stays so clean. It's like that he is.
He seems like he's a little bit of a smart aleck, kind of like a shithead smart aleck, but he like earns it. And in the end, he's not too much of a jerk or anything. And he's very politically minded.
Yeah, but it just seems like he managed to just not get pulled into the the black hole.
And he was there to like make Life Won't. I mean, I feel like Life Won't Wait is so important. Like he makes Life Won't Wait happen.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
And he's just, you know, he's such a big part of early Hellcat, you know. And those, I mean, if you're really like, hey, I like Life Won't Wait, I wish there was more Life Won't Wait. It's not exactly the same, but like the peak Slacker albums are like, just put those on. Like people should, like, as much as we're sitting around going like, oh, I love Vic, people should be unafraid to put on peak Slacker albums and just be like, yeah, you know, you got to kind of, it's, you know, I'm not telling everybody they're going to love Slackers, but I think you probably should like Slackers probably more than the average Rancid song. You know what I mean? Like, they're better songs. There's a little bit of that, like, wishing you're in a different generation sort of thing, but it's well done version. It's the best version of that I've seen of anybody.
I totally agree.
And those peak, you know, Hellcat records, it basically validate the reason for Hellcat existing. You know, was like, you know what I mean? Like, it's those Hellcat Socket records. It's like first four. It's like, yeah, this is great. I love it. It makes me happy. You know, and he just seems like a great guy, and still seems like he's gotten better, if anything. So, Vic, if you're out there, you know, we appreciate you, and this has really made us appreciate how talented you are. And if nothing else, I mean, Tim's a big old mess, but Tim, when he sings with Vic, there's something about that.
There's something that. There's something about it. God, just listen to that Silencer song. And
God, so good. The next, another thing that we've really come to appreciate that is like, really come to appreciate, it's just been how underrated and great the breadth of the quality of just different styles that Brett Reed got asked to play in the 90s, especially, and that the same guy is playing 93, Life Won't Wait, 2000, Indestructible. Like,
there's Indestructible, like, because there's, as much as I don't like it, and I don't like, there are moments on there that are not like any other shit.
Exactly.
Like, and he's there. He pulls, yeah, exactly. He does it. I think I wonder if he just, you know, Indestructible is controversial. Like, again, I give you, like, musically, it is much better than what came after it.
Yes.
I do think it's very interesting how hard they fell off after Brett left.
Yes.
I think it goes to show that, because I think everybody, he gets the least credit.
Yes.
And I think how hard they fell off shows that he should get
more. There's at least an indicator, whether or not it's a truthful piece of data. There's certainly a correlative piece there.
Yeah. Whether it's just correlation, not causation, whatever, but it makes it worth considering and asking the question.
Yes, I would agree with that. And it does seem like he being like an old school first man in sort of person in that band, you wonder how much he was, had a voice and was part of directing good things in that band. And so, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I just loved the snare sound. I loved, it wasn't about, I mean, I do think he was actually technically better than most people give him credit for, but I also just love the way he attacked, you know, his attack, his feel. And they'd say, go learn, you're going to be a ska drummer, you're going to be a rock study drummer, you're going to be a fucking rockabilly drummer, you know?
You know why I think Let's Go has retained some of my interest? I think part of it through this, like you were talking about how you've come to appreciate it less, which I totally understand. I think, like, his snare sound on Let's Go,
you're right.
Love it so much. I think that has kind of kept it on a level.
It's like the sound, as we said recently, the sound, it's of the 90s, yeah.
And it's, I think, and to be fair, all the things we're saying were like Brett didn't get credit or acknowledgement with, you know, how much he did. I was in that boat until that. Like, I was same thing.
I didn't think very much about Brett until we did this podcast. So it's a big takeaway for us. And I mean, Glenn wrote in talking about it. I do think the people who are deep thinkers about this stuff do notice that Brett had an outsized, you know, like, and that would be one of the big takeaways. And then later when I go listen to Fugazi records and some of the other things that are super dear to my heart, I wonder how much that appreciation of that sound was really, you know, drilled into my head by listening to Let's Go over and over and over and over.
Right. Yeah. And then the Uptones. God, the Uptones are...
What a gift, man.
God.
What a gift for, like, to have no idea about this band. And then it's, like, this college rock ska band, like, REM meets fucking, like... And it's funny, and it's sardonic, and it's really listenable. And it's, like, oh, also being turned onto a band and find out, oh, you only have to listen to this one record.
I know! That, like, yeah, that's, like, such a good thing. Because we've talked about that, how when you discover a band that's either, like, been around for a while or they were around for a long... You know, it's, like, oh, God, where do I start? There's so much shit. Like, I've always talked about with Low. Oh my God, it's so great. It's like, oh, well, there's just this. And it's great.
And it's wonderful. And like, and then, I mean, we named the podcast after a song co-written by Eric Dinwiddie. And it's one of our favorite, like, pop songs they've ever made, you know? Like, and we didn't realize how impactful they were to maybe that, like, chunky, kind of choppy sound of Alk and the Wolves, I think is probably very influenced by
it. I think it is too.
I think Tim was hanging out with Eric a lot and thinking about that style of songwriting of how do you bring a sort of American West Coast ska / clash sound back into the Rancid sound. And I think a template for that was a little bit of the Uptones and those guys, so those different songwriters, Eric and the other guy. And like, I think those guys don't get nearly enough credit. I think that's one of the footnotes in history that... At the time, people would be like, what are you talking about? Uptown's a very important band, loved by a weird range of people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think college rock, you know, REM, B-52s type people would like that band at the time. And then also Gilman type lookout people would have liked them, you know?
Yeah,
hey, no, I think they're kind of lost to history. Maybe not. Maybe we're just weird. We have a weird view of the world, and people from that scene are like, "What are you talking about? We totally know that band." But
and I'd say write in and let us know. But this is it. So fuck it.
Don't fucking write in. But yeah, huge takeaway. It's like it's such a gift when like a new good solid record is handed to you, and you're just like, "This is just good." You like it from the first time you hear it, and you'll like it the next time you hear it. You know, like, it's just like. It's such a gift.
That's one I have returned to quite a bit since we discovered it, and it stays in rotation because it's.
It's like the Slackers record. It's like being reminded about the Slackers record. Very similar for me. Of like, oh, I can just put on a Slackers record, and it's a little different, but it just feels good. And it had the novelty of like I'd never heard it before too.
Yep.
You know, it's so good. Such a good. Yeah. If nothing else, these things. You know.
Yes.
And one of my big takeaways. No matter how much I play this stuff, I cannot convince my family to enjoy Tim. How about you? 87 episodes in, did you make any headway on making your wife or your child?
No. Oh my God. I mean, my wife was on an episode.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And has had
great guests
and has listened to a lot. I think she kind of fell off, when we kind of fell off. And, you know, had her own, she thought we gave them way too much credit. And
probably very valid. I mean,
absolutely. And weren't hard enough on Lars and his weird, like Scandinavian Viking thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But anyway, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's like anybody that I'm friends with now. Other than like people, I guess like my friends who I've been friends with a long time, like Rancid, but like who they just can't do it with him. Tim is just a no go. Like with his voice is a no go. It's a non-starter.
My son, his favorite band for a little while there became the Interrupters. Once I started playing the Interrupters, being like, hey, you might like this more, which is totally great and valid. You know, like there's better people in the Ska revival than them, I'm sure, both as people and musically, but not mad about it. And most of it, I listen to it, I go, wow, this is just Tim singing through somebody else, right? Like, and it's so funny to me because I'm like, bud, you like Tim. You like you obviously like Tim, but Amy Interrupter is a much more palatable singer to the average person, you know, and she's much poppier and everything. And so he loves Interrupters. And we went and saw them play, and they were like very good showmen and show people and very, 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 very solid stuff, and like it was cool to see him do it. And then I'm like, what do you think about Rancid? He's like, I just don't like Tim.
I think that's a big part of it.
It totally makes sense. And, like the sentence I hear from my wife when I'm like, I have to listen to this, hold on a second, you know, or something, like I'm putting something on or making a reference, Tim will start singing and she goes, I just can't do it, is what she said. Yep. I just can't do it. And I'm like, I get it, but
it's fair. I get it too, but like, well, and I haven't actually tried to do this, but I'm trying, you know, we've talked about like the nuances of like, you know, like how in 2000, it really seems like it's like, it's really good. He's like really trying to enunciate versus other things where he's like, oh, it's like really messy. And to everybody else, it's just like, dude, it all sounds fucking.
It all sounds like garbled mess.
It sounds like he's got fucking marbles. She
was saying
in his mouth,
that dude. Recently. I was telling her about some stuff about Let Me Go, and I was playing Let Me Go again. And I was like, oh man, I think this is like the sharpest he's ever been. And she was just like, you know, doing a slow head turn to me, being like, what the hell are you talking about?
And it probably is. And it's, you know, that tells you something, I guess, if that is the sharpest moment. I mean, most of the people in my life, when I tell them, like, yeah, I got this podcast about Rancid, they're like, oh, that's interesting. it's about more than that.
It's for you. Exactly.
I mean, it has been a good thing on Songs of Our Lives when people are like, oh, I'm a little embarrassed to say this answer. It's like, look, I've done 100 episodes of a podcast on the band Rancid. You can't have anything more embarrassing than that. And they're always like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, you fucking weirdo. Like, let me
click.
Yeah, I was just gonna say I really like this fucking Beyonce song. I don't know, like,
yeah, you're like, what are you talking about? That's nothing.
Yeah. But yeah, and I guess the other big takeaway, and you know, I think this is, we've talked about this a lot off air about, especially as we kind of were struggling to keep this going, mm-hmm. of like, what, why do we want to keep it going? What are the things that we like? What is the thing? And I think we both were like, well, the best part of it is the 30 minutes before we record, just having some human contact and like talking about what the hell's going on in our lives and catching up and having, even having someone just bouncing ideas off of, you know, I mean, I can
somebody
say
will with, have knowledge about some of the stuff we're going through too. You know,
yeah, and like absolutely. And I can say without question, like Songs of Our Lives doesn't exist without not only this podcast, but just like our conversations with, you know, I mean, I tell Eden this all the time where I'll be like, God, I've got this thing. That's kind of an idea. And I'm trying to get it to like, I need to talk to Sam. I need to tell Sam. And because you and I will get into this like conversation, it's like, and you know, like we have the same brain, but different experiences. Yeah. And so that's the super valuable thing. But yeah, I mean, it's, yeah.
Just so a big takeaway was we like this. We like the talking. Yes. We've had some feedback from people being like, when we go really far off the song, we've had a few people say, I like that the most.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think Glenn even kind of jokingly was like, you all should have like a relationship podcast or something. Like, like, I don't know. But
yeah, I don't know about that. But
I just, yeah, I think that part and just like you said, like having, like shit's rough, man. Like the world's rough.
Pretty fucked up right now.
And
we're both a lot pretty of this, solitary too right now.
Yeah,
too.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, so the big thing for me with ending this podcast, and we talked about this back in December. Yeah. We were like, okay, but how are we going to keep? Like, we need to still get on like calls and talk. And one way we were talking, we've kind of done that is with the Foxy D podcast, but that's changing for reasons. It's whatever. I don't know. Is this a good segue into the next thing? So the 11th hour is ending, but the Sam and Brad hour is not. it's changing. And I don't know when we're going to launch this thing. So we've got a lot of things to figure out. But we're gonna basically do, I don't even know how often, if it's gonna be every week, every other week, whatever, live streams basically, right?
Yeah, we're thinking about doing live streams on video, lower pressure, more interactive. We like the interaction with people, lower, less of like themes. Hanging,
yeah, it's basically like hanging out.
Yeah. And like, and just see what's that like. We've seen some people do similar stuff and it's worked pretty well for them. And so like, what would happen if we just had a lot of topics to go through, but they were mostly around the idea of hanging out with you guys and people who want to come with us on that journey. And maybe it's the worst idea ever, but it certainly sounds fun. You know, like it's kind of the part that we like about this and we don't want to lose that. And also there's like, I do think it's worth talking about, like you're ending but you're definitely like pulling back on Foxy Digital podcast itself because it's a lot of work and you were kind of forcing it.
Yes.
But we liked doing the part where I jump on and have a topic. And a lot of that was like a half formed idea, but we knew we wanted to talk about a topic.
Yeah.
We can do that together every week, you know, like, and so we're reducing some of the stuff we're doing. We're not doing this podcast anymore. You're doing that podcast quite a bit less. And we're going to just do stuff that's lower pressure, but more value, like maybe a longer hangout, but like all we don't have to edit those. We just put them up as VODs. They'll live on YouTube or whatever we choose. It's probably YouTube. And sort of allow for a little bit more interaction with the comments and things like that and just see what happens.
Hopefully have guests stop by, you know, I mean, we've already talked to friend of the show, people. Jeff Tobias.
Yeah, I really want to get Jeff on. I want to get
Jeff's like always the number one pick. Like he was the first guest on Songs of Our Lives, and that was like all because of this podcast. Like I knew Jeff just through his music and stuff, and when we did that episode, it was just like, man, this, like, this guy is so like much fun. And
yeah,
and
quick on his feet. Oh,
and, yeah. But like, and having guests on this podcast is a lot harder to do than just like, hey,
calling we're doing somebody this into thing. A Zoom call and having
right, just being like, up. Yeah, just hop on. I don't know. It's like, this is the time we're going to be doing it this week. Like, hop on and
text
I don't
us know. And we'll bring you in
for yeah, and we'll talk about minutes
some, if you want to. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. We can talk about whatever. I don't care. And hopefully, I mean, we have a lot of ideas for it of even like, hey, like, we're going to listen to this record. We're going to talk about this record next week. So everybody go listen to it. And
yeah, we can, we can. A lot of reoccurring segments and like kind of think of it more like a radio show than like a anything else, like a reoccurring like radio show, yeah. But very low key, yeah. Very much like almost like a weekly therapy session, but like right, where I we're mean, trying to like just create too. A safe space for each other to just talk about what's on our minds.
Yeah, I mean, especially with, I mean, like a thing that Sam and I talk about a lot and not, you know, I mean, like offline. Or not awful, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is just a lot of the struggles of like running a record label or making music or like being in the music world, like especially the music, like experimental music world that we're in 2024. And a lot of things that, I mean, yesterday, there was somebody talking about like burnout and this yeah. feeling of feeling overwhelmed. Like they're a writer, a music writer of like how much stuff gets sent and not being able to listen to it all or respond to it all. And this guilt and all these. And I was so appreciative that he said something out loud because it's something I think about too. And a big part of what we talk about is that a lot of people feel this, but hardly anybody talks about it in a public way. And I think that would just, and so we're going to try yeah. that. Oh, and the name of it. We came up with the name of
yeah,
it. Oh,
so if we say the name now, then it's the name permanently. So
yeah.
That's how that works. I don't yes. know if you know.
Yeah.
It's
like, yeah, we are
it's committed like magic to... rules. It's like, it you is. Know, once you say it, it's, like it's magic, real.
Yeah. neither one of us are going to say it.
I thought you were going to say it. But
I thought you were going to say it.
All right. So the show that we're going to do, frequently, we'll get you more information soon. We'll probably pop on for like a 5-minute announcement when we on this feed. So stay on this feed.
Yeah.
It's going to be called Endless Happiness.
Yeah.
For lots of different reasons.
Still feels right when you said it out loud. Like we literally came up with this 2 hours ago. The name, like not the concept, but the name.
We've been racking our brains to, but I love it. I love it. It's exactly right.
Yep.
We'll talk even more about why it's right, I think, as we go. But yeah. I just let it sit with you. Endless Happiness. And it's going to be a show. And I mean, this literally can be anything. It's just we need to get together. We need to talk. And I think we need projects. Like, we need a reason for this to exist. So, right. like, we're just going to do a very low-key show stream. And come hang out if you want to. If you're like, I'm here for the rancid. Sorry, guys. That's great, too. No worries. But if you enjoyed us talking, come check it out. We'll make sure you have all the information off of our feeds for this show, both social and this actual feed. Once we get it running, I think it will be very similar, but we won't have to be constantly talking about a bunch of narcissists.
Yeah.
We'll talk about other narcissists. We'll talk about our own narcissism, you know?
Right. You know, yeah. We won't.
Good.
I was going to say, and yeah, we won't be talking about narcissists and like the have to deal with the worst music they ever made. Because yeah. that was most of what was left. So,
and like, I really wanted to be like the honest, like, oh, I'm creating space to like have healthier practices and healthier thoughts, and like, let's talk out loud about like, oh, this is bothering me. Why is it bothering me?
Right.
And also, just maybe like, God, I have like 6 records I need to pack up and put out for yeah. mail. What a perfect thing. Let's talk about like, let's have a conversation while I'm folding mailers and talking about shipping records and like, you know, like there's something fun about like, let's have a hangout, you know what I mean? There's like, mm-hmm. let's have a hangout the way we would if we were in the same city. It would be like, hey man, do you want to come over after dinner and like, I'm gonna pack records and we could talk about like what records
are coming
out this week. Like, yeah. we would totally do that, right?
Absolutely.
But we would do that like 10 years ago when it was easier and we didn't have family and we were like
right,
let's go find that a little bit more in a structured way, you know?
Yeah.
I hope any of this is making any sense to anybody.
Maybe it's not. But well, and again, I mean, and like we hope if this sounds interesting to you, you'll check it out. That'd be awesome. But one of the things that we talked about yesterday or the day before is like, I'm doing this for myself. Yeah. So like, if nobody pays attention and I'm having fun, I don't care. And like, yeah. I got to keep that in mind. And especially, but I think that's part of why we want it to be kind of low lift. Like,
yes,
it's, I say it's low stakes, but it, for me, it's pretty, it's not low stakes because it's going to be really
it's helpful very valuable and helpful to us. Yeah, exactly. I think this is a good practice.
But it's not going to be, like you said, there's not going to be any post-production. It's going to be like, here's the video. You know, if there's, if it's easy to export the audio and throw it up on a feed for audio only, we'll try that. I don't know how hard that is.
Yeah.
But
it's going to be primarily video, I think. So we can do things like bring up stuff on the browser and show it to each other and like be a little bit more engaged and like engage with comments and just see where it goes. It probably starts out pretty low key. And if we will find out the parts that are fun, can be very interactive, you know, so if you want to come be a part of this a little bit more even than we could do with this show, I would encourage it for sure. So and also I would say, like, as this comes to an end, a really big appreciation for just coming on this crazy journey with us of 87 whatever it ends up being,
plus all the extra bonus pods too.
It's a good point. Pushing 100. we must be past 90. Pretty incredible to almost 2 years here. More than I would have ever expected came from this show.
Oh my God. Yeah.
When we thought we were starting this. So pretty amazing, really fun. I think we've done a really good job with it, you know, to pat ourselves on the back, but I think we actually have, I wanted to say good job, Brad, you know, like good job, like following through on an idea. We definitely reserve the right, like keep this stream around. You don't have to keep it because I think we reserve the right. Doom Regulator comes out. We'll probably talk about it on Endless Happiness, but we'd also probably want to come have a conversation here too. If, you know, Lars leaves the band, we probably want to talk about, you know.
Who knows?
If something crazy happens, we'd love
to. If we get an email from Vic and he's like, hey, we should do, you know.
If we get to interview Vic, let's interview it on this feed too. Yeah. You know, I think we should leave it for all the emergency podcasts. We've had a couple people mention that we obviously should do that. So like, you know, Doom Regulator is like sitting out there as a white whale, you know, like either it's going to be amazing or awful. Either way, we got to talk about it. So we're never going to come out. Like there's totally a world.
I feel like that's the most likely thing.
And the crazy thing is everybody's heard it, you know, like a bunch of people have heard it and Tim might just be like, I don't know, and freak out and not do it. So anyways, I don't think we need to drag this out too much because, again, it's not really the end. It's just the end of weekly updates on this feed. We'll give a lot more information about Endless Happiness in the next few weeks. We don't want to put too much of a gap in between us. We want to make sure we actually do it. And just thank you. If you're listening to one of these episodes, it really meant a lot to us. And obviously it sort of put us on a path towards a lot of interesting things. And that's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just echo that. Yeah. Thank you all for coming along this ridiculous ride. for everybody who listened, who sent in emails, voicemail.
Oh my God.
I mean, and there were so many things. Yeah, we couldn't get to everything. You know, even left comments on everything. It's awesome. And
hopefully every time we got one of those things, it was just this wave of like, holy shit, somebody cares. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
It's crazy. So,
thanks for when I put out my stupid comment on Twitter of like, I'm gonna do a fucking Rancid podcast. You're like, yeah, okay.
Yes.
you should do it. And I remember that. I was like, wait, no, do you really want to do that? Yeah. Do you really want to do that? and 2 years later, it's
good wild. Stuff has come from it. And it's been a really tough time. I think a very complicated time for both of us. And this stupid Rancid podcast has been a really nice, has generated a really nice set of things that has been a good counterweight to the tough time or the complicated time. So it's going to be funny to think about, like, as even more stuff happens in our relationship, to be like, remember that this all started because of a stupid Rancid podcast.
What the fuck? But hey, shit happens. Things happen in weird fucking ways. Well, I think that's about it.
That's your quote, Brent. Yeah. Shit happens in weird fucking ways.
That's, you know, put it on my fucking tombstone. Especially right, if I die in a weird way. That'd be really good. Run over by a herd of donkeys. Anyway, I do live in Oklahoma, so.
It's true. I guess it's not the craziest
it's thing. Not, it's not too far out of the realm of possibility. Anyway, everybody, thank you for listening. And hey, if you should also come check out Songs of Our Lives, because it's awesome.
The, give me a break. Yeah. Like, let me make that very, very clear. Songs of Our Lives is so, for as loose and goofy this podcast is, that's a, such a well-produced, thoughtful podcast with great guests of all different types. And Brad's really killing it on that. And it's just going to grow and grow and grow.
And so much fun. Oh, my God.
And Songs of Our Lives, go get that feed. That even more than anything else we're talking about here, that's going to be a really rewarding listen for years and years, I think. So, yeah.
Thank you, and I sure hope so. And yeah, and make sure, you know, and if you're interested in music that isn't Rancid, Sam runs Debacle Records, has a lot of killer records coming out this year. Has a lot of, and not just the one from me, which is obviously the best one, but... and had a lot of killer records last year so check that out. Foxy Digitalis, I'm always doing random shit, but hey, keep an eye and an ear out for Endless Happiness. Thank you all again, and for one last time,
see you in the bird.